Hello. Hi. Welcome back to the Trading Desk on Watchbox Studios with Joshua Thanos and
Jason Main. I'm back. I know you guys missed me. They tried to replace me. I was taking care of some.
We had some good business. Feedback. CQ, I think, almost took your seat, man.
Yeah, I don't think that I would fight him to the death with said weapons.
That's right. You bought a lot of weapons, didn't you? Did you bring any of those today?
Yeah, I brought some stuff. We're gonna go through some cool stuff. We announcing our first ever Trading Desk giveaway.
Oh, that's right. We're giving things away.
So we're gonna give something away. You want to do that after wrist shots or before?
I don't know. You're running the show today, Jay.
I'm running stuff, so we're going to go ahead and move right into this. It actually corresponds directly to our wrist shots because...
Oh, yeah. You're giving away your watch also, aren't you?
Josh and I's wrist shots are actually pillow shots. You've seen these before. This is my 114060 non-date ceramic sub, which I love. And Josh's watch is?
Oh, my PAM 002A. So this is a highly, highly collectible Panerai. Collectible. It's got a story behind it. I'm not going to run through it now. If you guys want to hear the story, go back and watch our old shows. But that's a base Panerai. It's 1997-1998 base Panerai 44mm stainless steel.
So a little bit later in the show, we're going to get to the watches that are actually on our wrist, which are going to be part of the segment, watches we purchased this week.
Mm-hmm.
And these are our personal watches, and you will notice that they are sitting in this brand new, beautiful watch box branded.
Watch roll,
which we just got the prototypes for. We should have these soon. But we decided with one of the prototypes, we would bring it on the show and show it off, and also give one away.
Yeah, to the highest bidder, right?
Yeah, we're gonna get into what will get you this for your watches soon. But as you can see, one of the cool things that I like about this is that each pillow is individual, which is nice. There's also a watch box cloth that you'll get with it.
Can I see this? I haven't seen this.
Yeah, it's they're pretty cool. Ooh. The leather's pretty nice. As you can see, I fit a 40mm. Sub in there, and he fit a 44mm PAM in there, and there was no problem closing it. So it's a pretty real-world case.
Good for travel.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we're going to we'll announce
just because everybody was such a fan last episode before I left, I'm going to go ahead and do the traditional Jason intro here. So this is one of the pieces I picked up at Blade, because I know you're all curious. This is Philippe Georget. He's a French knife maker that is completely made by hand. And it's a Tashi design, so you'll see Tashi's logo on the back there. Liner lock, fantastic action. There's maybe six of these in the world. And then...
Does that make it valuable or just rare?
So that makes it both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Being as this is what I do, I do not dabble in things that don't return. This is a Jared Ogier slip joint. So like the slip joint I showed you last week, I'm getting kind of into these traditional knives. This is both valuable and a rare. Very cool piece. So happy to have both of those. And if you don't like knives, I don't care.
Yeah, Jason likes weapons.
So.
Yeah, and American flag
memorabilia. There you go. America.
America. All right, cool. So what's up next, Jay?
So we are going to have a couple things for you. We want to do, let's roll right into market assessment.
Okay, cool. Market assessment. Hey, look at that.
There you go.
Cool.
And due to the graphic, we are always talking about the market going up.
That's right.
So one of the things we kind of wanted to touch base on and run through, we get all the time, at least I do, I know Josh does, we talked about this, is when a guy calls you and he really doesn't know what he's getting into, or he's just starting to look for a watch, so he tells me I can get it new here, mm-hmm. and that's a gray market site, or right. I can get it pre-owned and it's a gray market site, right?
Sure.
So we're always kind of... educating people that aren't aware of what those differences are.
Yeah.
So we thought it might be a pretty good little subject for you guys to kind of get an idea, a topic of what you can expect from what places and the idea of what really separates a new watch from a gray market watch from mm-hmm. a pre-owned watch.
So right? You would say that instead of a market assessment, we're doing more of a market education today?
Yeah. I mean, I still think it falls in. I guess you're correct. It's really not a market assessment. I still think it falls into the part of the show where we want to continually educate people from our perspective.
Yeah. Well, selfishly, it makes us easier. It makes our jobs easier when we're dealing with educated consumers.
That's true. So why don't you kind of lead off and tell us what we should expect to buy from a new authorized dealer?
Right. Okay. So we want to talk about there's essentially three categories. possibly four, and we can kind of touch on that in terms of watch sales, right? So there's new. What does that mean? There's gray market, new, okay? And what does that mean? And then there's pre-owned, right? So if somebody who I've never spoken to before reaches out to us and is interested in doing business and says, hey, I can get this watch on this website brand new for X amount of dollars, right? What does that mean, right? So for example, let's say like Joma Shop, right? Okay? If you guys search online for a certain reference, a lot of times Joma Shop or Authentic Watches will come up. These are two large gray market sellers, okay? And what does that mean? Well, because they list their watches new.
Right.
That's what they call them, new. So in the watch world, new means it's coming from an authorized dealer. And the main difference between a new watch in status and, say, like a gray market watch, which may be new in appearance, right, or it might truly be unworn, is really going to be the factory warranty. And that's there's a premium to be paid sure. for watches with factory warranties because, you know, if you're buying high-value luxury goods, right, you're using, you know, excess income on these things, the last thing you want to do is spend, you know, $20,000 on a watch that doesn't work, okay? So that's why these brands have warranties. Yeah. In fact, like, they matter so much that Rolex, 2 years ago, extended theirs from a 2 to a 5 year sure. warranty. Omega has 4 and 5 year warranties. Breitling has 4 and 5 year warranties. So warranties for these pieces are very important because it's expensive to fix these watches. And while there might be guys who might claim to be able to fix them for, you know, a low price, they're probably not fixing them the right way. So, like, you don't want to buy a Ferrari and then take it to Joe's car shop.
Exactly. Right. So, at the end of the day, what you're talking about is I think a lot of people, a lot of clients of mine, after we get done talking about this, have a little bit better insight. But what happens is I think a lot of people don't realize that there's a middleman between the brand itself and mm-hmm. a dealer. Usually, a brand goes through a distributor, and certain people will hold those contracts for a market like the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happens is orders get placed, sites like Joma Shop and the ones you mentioned will get those watches, not to necessarily say they're not authentic, but they will get them from sources that are not the dealer,
mm-hmm.
right? Not the authorized manufacturer.
I got to stop you for 1 second. We forgot to do this or that.
Yeah, I know. I know. We're gonna get into that. You want to stop and get into that now? That way they can vote the whole show?
All right. Sorry. We're going to pause for 1 second. We're going to do this or that, and then we're going to get back into our conversation.
Real quick.
Sorry, guys, for the mix-up. This is what happens when Jason's in charge, by the way.
Yeah, pure anarchy. So the this or that, which naturally we rolled into on time and relatively. So Josh and I were just kind of kicking around, and I traveled last weekend, as you guys know. So I was kind of seeing a lot of watches that I don't normally see on guys' wrists in Georgia. And got me thinking, like, for under, you know, let's call it $2,000, what's a cool kind of watch that you can have some real merit to from a Swiss brand? So I've been a big fan of this watch for a little while. So here's my pick is the Oris Aquis 42, which is got a beautiful green dial. This comes in a couple different variations, but I happen to like green quite a bit, and I think it works with that cream style marker. So it's a 42 millimeter. It's got pretty basic movement in it, 38-hour power reserve. Solid Swiss-made movement, though, sapphire crystal. Got a kind of a vintage appeal to it with the 65. And you can have this watch for $1,500 if you look on the secondary. So Swiss-made automatic sapphire crystal, $1,500. You know, you can't sneeze at that. It's a great piece for the money. And I think that's a cool piece for, you know, you might get into there's some mariner, you might get into watches that are $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, but it's always cool to have kind of that cheap, you know, cheaper.
You never know when you're Swiss made watch, you know, in a third world country.
Exactly. Or let's say you're just going to travel.
North Philly, maybe.
You know, you're going to travel. Happened to me this weekend. They wanted me to take my Panera off and throw it through the machine.
Oh, that's right.
For the X-ray. So you wouldn't hesitate to do that with something that's of a cheaper caliber than this. So
yeah. Well, it's also – so in my opinion, the way I looked at both these watches is this is a great entry-level diver.
Sure.
So if you're just getting into watches and you don't know if it's something that you're always going to wear or if you don't know if you want to invest a lot of money into something – and when I say a lot of money, like relative – to the market, right? These are great watches to get started with, right? So if you're not used to wearing
it. So you actually, your watch was?
Oh, so my watch is the Longines Legend Diver. This is with the date, 42 millimeters, automatic. This is the, like a faded indices, like the Heritage version. The watch, it's $2,300 retail. You can easily find it for less than that. But again, you know, it's also a watch that like relatively holds good value. Yeah. It's never going to be zero. There's a lot of buyers for these watches. There's a lot of these watches out there, but you can, if you ever get tired of it, it's an easy watch to get rid of. It has the a rotating inner bezel, a dive bezel, but it's below the sapphire, which is really cool. So it gives you the extra crown. It just gives it a cool dynamic. Yeah. So also it kind of looks like it has an alarm function, but it doesn't. That's the inner bezel. A great brand, a perfect watch to get started. I think they're probably Oris and Longines are similar in terms of watchmaking and relevance in the market. You know, my watch, I would prefer the Longines Legend Diver. I actually had one for like a week and I traded it immediately. Because of circumstances.
You would pick the watch that you got rid of, is what you're saying.
I picked the watch that I owned. So there you go.
Yeah, but you didn't keep. So.
Have you ever owned an Oris?
I have.
Okay, well, I have too, so I thought I was going to call you on that. So both great watches. Yeah. I prefer the Legend Diver.
I think for the this or that side of the show, this is probably the first time Josh and I have gotten to the point where I would wear either watch and be happy with either piece. So yeah. I think we're a little bit nulled on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think both watches are good. I can see why you went with the date one, because the Oris has a date, but they do make that
without
Longines without a date, which I think is a cleaner, just because the dial's so busy anyways.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They also released.
There is a poll.
That's right.
Right? You guys should vote.
So vote for Josh's watch.
I think we could.
Let me win once, please.
They're probably already voting, so maybe we could pull that up now.
Do we have the results here? Let me refresh. Oh!
Look at that.
Look at this! I got a chance! This is so exciting. Alrighty.
I had to throw him a bone here, folks.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, guys, keep voting. Mm-hmm. In a second. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do this now so we can get to just the giveaway real quick.
Go for it.
So, for the giveaway, what we're going to do is we're going to have you guys email Josh or I a wrist shot, right? Mm-hmm. We want to see some creative wrist shots of what you're wearing. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if it's a $500 watch or a $50,000 watch.
Has to be your watch.
I want to see real world wrist shots.
Right. It's not in a jewelry
and
shop.
I want to see a shot that you would be happy for us to post on the show next week.
Yep.
Because we're gonna pick a winner from the emails that we get,
mm-hmm.
and then we're gonna ship this to you on our dime. So you're gonna get the first.
Oh, caveat to that: if you're international, assume you will be paying import fees, so you might want to think twice about that. But yeah, so send us an email, either Josh T, so my first name, last initial, at govbergwatches.com, or Jason M, his first name, last initial, at govbergwatches.com. Those are our emails, and go ahead and send us wrist shots along with your address as well, please, your name and address, and we will be shutting that. We'll be closing that down next Wednesday at midnight.
Yeah, we did. We did put a stop on it. So, we really want some feedback from you guys. So we're always talking about guys to get into the chat, always saying hi to you guys. But it'd be cool to see guys that are in the comment section after the show goes live.
Yeah.
So it's open to everybody. Email us photos. We're gonna pick one that we think is really cool. Mm-hmm. We're gonna air it on the show next week.
Yeah.
So full disclosure, if you send me a picture, it means that I'm allowed to use it. And, you're going to get this really cool watch roll. It's the first one, so there's a little history there. It's not serialized, though, so I guess you could all have the first one eventually. But, all right, I digress. Let's get back to market education.
Knives? Oh, that's right, market education. All right, so the difference between a new watch, a gray market new watch, and a pre-owned watch.
Yeah, what I was saying, basically, is that, with the new... With the new watch, you know where the watch is coming from, right? So that means that an authorized dealer has been entrusted to sell that watch, and it came directly from the manufacturer.
Right. It's from Switzerland to that store to you.
Right. So then now it's getting put in the hands of the person who's going to own the watch and then, wear it and enjoy it.
So two indicators of a new watch is it's coming from an authorized dealer, okay? So you know where it came from, the provenance, and you know for sure it's new.
Right.
Right. You know that no one's ever worn this watch. It hasn't been sold before. The watch is it just went literally from Switzerland to the store to you. So obviously.
Right. So it has has a full warranty card, which hasn't been filled out yet. That's the same paperwork you're going to get, directly from the manufacturer. You're not getting some website's card and promise that they're going to take care of you later.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is whenever we're spending this disposable income, The idea of the warranty is nice because that manufacturer is guaranteeing their craftsmanship directly from them, because they can guarantee that it went from them to a trusted source to you.
Right.
Whereas gray market, flows through distributors, throws, you know, one dealer sells off to another dealer, or it's in their case for a while. Oh. 10 people have tried that watch on, and now a year later they can't sell it, so they sell it to the gray market. You have to be careful. And we always talk about gray market, whereas if you can't afford to take a loss on that watch, or I'm not going to say
you don't
throw
care about
the watch
first.
Away,
yeah.
But if you can't afford to really spend the money on that piece, then I would buy it new. And if you're not comfortable doing that, then I would go pre-owned. For me, pre-owned is where you're going to get all your value. So gray market is going to be roughly, what, 20%, 15% under retail, somewhere around there. You're going to save a couple.
It depends on the watch.
One of the reoccurring things is I get a lot of guys that'll say, well, I can save $500 if I buy it gray market instead of pre-owned.
So here, let's slow down a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So new watches guarantees you're the first owner of the watch and guarantees that the brand that you're buying it from will stand behind the watch if there's an issue within the warranty period. And that's important because, like sort of what you were just saying, the brand that made the watch has the best capabilities of repairing the watch, okay? So if I buy the watch with an aftermarket warranty, then, you know, I don't know for sure that the people who sold me that watch will have the full capabilities to repair it.
Sure.
So it's levels of risk, really, right? Obviously, you're paying, usually, you would assume, you're paying the highest price for the new watch. And there's obviously certain instances where it's not, especially in this market.
Right.
But so a new watch guarantees you're the first owner, which it's important to certain people, not as important to others, and that's how you have to ask yourself. Is it important for me to be the first owner? Then yes, then I have to go new. Is it important for me to have a guaranteed warranty from the brand that made the watch? Then you should probably go new. So gray market creates some there's a little bit of risk, but the reward would be a lower price, right? So when you say I can buy the watch for $500 less gray market new against truly new, I would say it's better to compare the watch gray market new to pre-owned.
100%. Yeah.
Right. Those prices are should be closer together than true new.
There should be a true gap between true new and gray market and pre-owned.
Right.
And gray market being in the middle, closer together. But much closer together.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, so whenever you see a website like we mentioned before, I'm going to keep throwing their name out there, but that says something is new, they are not an authorized dealer for that watch. The watch cannot be new. Might be in unworn condition.
Right.
Might be what a lot of people will call new. But if it doesn't come from a brand, from a name that's on that dealer's website, mm-hmm. on that authorized manufacturer's website, mm-hmm. they're not an authorized dealer and that watch is not new.
Right. It's gray market. Again, it certainly could be unworn. It certainly could have been unsold to, or it could have been sold directly to the gray market dealer from maybe backdoor or overseas or whatever. But again, it's not going to be backed. You're not going to get a warranty card from the brand, so it's not going to be backed by them. So we were talking about this before. If you're going to buy a watch from a gray market source, which I personally have before, right, just make sure that you can afford to pay the service cost if there's an issue with the watch. Right?
Yeah. 100%.
That's basically how I look at it. So, say throw out a number. I personally wouldn't spend more than, say, $5,000 on a gray market watch, because if I'm spending more than that, usually the service cost is going to be
exorbitant. And then on top of that, think of what's going to happen when a brand has the infrastructure to take in a repair, send it back to the manufacturer, or send it back to the factory and fix the watch, right? They've mm-hmm. invested millions and millions of dollars into that infrastructure to have the factory that manufactures the piece, whereas opposed to saving $1,000 or $500 on the piece, and now you're dealing with a middleman who technically is not supposed to be selling the product anyways.
According to
the brand. I mean, the brand makes the rules. So as an authorized dealer, we have to follow those rules.
Sure.
When you're a gray market, you don't have to follow those rules. So what happens
there's no
now?
Standards.
Who do you speak to? If you go to the brand, they're going to say, we can send it back, but it's obviously going to cost you because you don't have a factory warranty, right? Mm-hmm. Or a lot of times, some brands will say, sorry, we can't take it because you didn't buy it from an authorized dealer. Then you're stuck dealing with the middleman, and do they have a watchmaker? Probably not. Do they have one that I would want in my watch? Probably not. So where are you at?
Right. So somebody in the chat box just said, he goes, it's not a satellite you're buying. The world is full of people that can service it. Okay. So what does that mean? So if I'm buying a Mercedes, mm-hmm. right? Say I'm spending $85,000 on a Mercedes, okay, and it has an issue. Do I want to take it to a place that will use Mercedes parts and is being held accountable by the brand Mercedes itself? for using Mercedes parts, or do I want to take it to somebody who's going to use aftermarket parts? Both guys might be able to get it running, so far as I can tell, but there's a difference between getting Mercedes parts and getting aftermarket parts. And for the most part, everybody I know wants it to be repaired with Mercedes parts. Same thing with Rolex, right? So there was a response in there saying that Rolex does not just give out parts and tools to everybody, so not everybody can service it. So, right. And that's the truth. So Rolex, for one, is extremely strict with their distribution, and not just on their watches, but on their parts and tools as well. So even as an authorized service center and an authorized dealer for Rolex, there's certain models that cannot be fixed outside of the factory because they want to control the distribution of parts. So if you want aftermarket parts, which maybe are not made up to the certain level or quality of integrity, integrity of quality, standards of the watch, then just understand. And the point that we're making here is
just know
less,
what you're
less
buying.
About right, exactly. It's less about, hey, you shouldn't buy from gray market or whatever it may be. Just understand when you're buying gray market, understand what you're buying.
Right.
If you want to buy a gray market watch, that's totally fine. But don't call an authorized dealer and say, you guys are crazy. I can buy the watch for 40 off from these guys brand new. Well, it's not apples to apples, right?
Right. It's not brand new. It's not apples to apples. Right. Really, what we're saying is just be careful what you're buying. Know what you're buying, okay? Because anytime that, that's what we're here to do right now is educate, right? So anytime you go into a situation better educated, you're going to have more tools to fight to get even a better deal or just an understanding of what you're buying. So, and then going into exactly pre-owned is, in our terminology as an authorized dealer, is going to be anything that didn't come directly from the brand new to you. So even if I have a piece with a warranty card that's not been filled out because that's how I bought it from somebody, it's still pre-owned because there was a middleman in between you and the manufacturer. So there's everything that's on the Watchbox website is pre-owned. There's a lot of stuff that's pre-owned on the Gabberg website as well. We do both. We'd be more than happy if you see something on the website to let you know the condition, how old it is. That's what we're here for. So just give us a call. I see you reading some comments and
yeah, just like there's a few people in here who are just refusing to get the point of what we're saying. And it's not about the amount you're spending. It's about just understanding exactly what you're getting yourself into. And the point that we want to make here is so that when you are going to buy, you can negotiate effectively, right?
Right.
So if you call up somebody who's an educated dealer and you start using, trying to you're comparing apples to oranges, you think that dealer is going to want to spend any time dealing with you at all? Probably not. You're probably not going to get a good deal. That person's probably going to blow you off, especially if you're being argumentative in the fact, too. And that's what happens sometimes. So, we have somebody who doesn't do the research, doesn't understand the difference between a gray market and a pre-owned watch, and doesn't understand the markets in those, and then gets aggressive with the seller but completely uneducated, right?
Right?
So educating yourself is super important, right? You can get a good deal new, you can get a good deal gray market, and you can get a good deal pre-owned, so long as you understand the context of each.
Yeah, and listen, I don't mind, going over this time and time again when someone calls me, but just have enough of an open mind to understand what I'm trying to tell you. And it's not that I'm telling you you shouldn't buy it or you can't, but if you just listen to me for a second and really understand that I'm trying to let you know what the differences are,
right,
as opposed to you yelling at me because you can buy it cheaper and then hanging up on me.
Right.
Nobody wants to get the deal done more than us, right?
Well, any dealer.
Any dealer. So if you're calling me, it's because you're buying something, I'm selling something, or vice versa. And I'm only happy if we're making the deal. So I'm trying to get the deal done for you. But to call and then be argumentative, like, that could be, extremely counterproductive. So
right.
We just want to help you guys out as much as possible because at the end of the day, this is our job, but it's also something that we enjoy doing. And we wouldn't spend our free time coming to do the YouTube shows if we didn't think that the education was important. So,
this is important. So, yeah, exactly. So whether you're buying it from somebody like us or one of the hundreds of dealers out there who are selling watches, just understand what you're buying. So, okay, so new means for sure it's new. You're the first owner and you're getting guaranteed a factory warranty. Gray market means you could be the first owner, but there's no guarantee on that, and there's no guarantee in a factory warranty. In fact, there's usually no factory warranty with a gray market watch. Then we talk about pre-owned, and there is such thing as pre-owned unworn watches with factory warranties.
Yes.
That's something also we want to talk about. So if there are sellers out there who specialize in those types of watches, right? So pre-owned watches, right, which is pre-owned in status, not not worn and not right. used, say full stickers.
Indistinguishable from new in condition.
Right, exactly. With intact factory warranties. So in my opinion, a watch like that will be worth more than what you call a gray market watch, 100%. Which will be, you know, supposedly unworn with no factory warranty. So, you know, you want to understand if you see, again, a listing online for a watch from a guy that you know is not an authorized dealer, but he's selling a watch that has, say, full stickers on it with majority of the factory warranty and a card that has somebody's name on it, but it's, you know, dated 3 weeks ago. That's, for the most part, usually going to have the factory warranty on that watch. That should be more valuable, right, than a gray market watch that 100%. Doesn't have the warranty.
Yep, I agree completely. It happens all the time. It's definitely a status thing only, and we do run across a lot of those watches. We'll actually pay more for those pieces than we would for something that's not under warranty. That's always something that we take into consideration. So if you call me and you say, hey, I have this watch with box and papers, it's worth more than if you didn't, generally. And if you have something that's still under factory warranty, mm-hmm. it's worth more than box papers not under warranty. So those are all questions that we ask under normal circumstances to get an idea of what we should pay for the watch, because really it's determined about what we're going to sell the watch for. So if the watch can sell for a premium because it's still under factory warranty, one, probably means I don't need to do anything to the watch, so it's going to be easier for me to sell. And two, I'm going to sell it for a little bit higher price because it has a peace of mind for the end user that they still have that blessing from the manufacturer.
Right. It makes it easier because at that point we don't have to warranty that watch because right. the factory warranty is going to be more valuable than our – it's like an in-house warranty from a pre-owned sale. Even though somebody like us, we have the benefit of having, you know, relationships with the brands, being able to actually service right. these things. But if I don't have to worry about a warranty as a speculative buyer, I'm willing to pay every last dollar for that watch.
Sure.
And that's important to know too. So when you're buying a watch and you're selling it, and say especially now with a lot of these watches having longer warranties, and even someone in the chat box mentioned that Audemars offers essentially a 5-year warranty if you buy it from the boutique.
Right.
So there's two boutiques in the United States. There's 57th Street in New York and Bal Harbour. And I think there actually might be one in Los Angeles too that's not company owned, but I think they still get to offer the 5-year warranty. So if you sell it within that warranty period, you're usually going to get a premium. So one of the questions I ask when a customer goes to sell me a watch, say like a Rolex, for example,
right.
the difference between the watch being under warranty and not is there's going to be – I'm going to pay more because I'm going to be able to sell it for more.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, perfect. You feel like there's anything else that we need to touch on this subject?
No, I mean just –
basically, if you're going to buy a watch at all or sell a watch for that matter
– educate yourself.
Yeah, educate yourself. Know what you're buying or selling or call somebody that does. Give us a call. Give us an email. You could text us.
Mm-hmm.
Always here to help, you know? So, it's not a sales pitch, but I would say that the more education you have,
mm-hmm.
the better deal you're going to cut yourself.
Right.
So, and then Josh and I's time relatively valuable to us. So when a guy calls and he knows what he's talking about, it makes it easier for us. And you can, you know, kind of level with the guy. And it just skipped the whole first part of, like, I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. And it just makes things – and that's any negotiation. That's not watches. That's cars, so, real estate, whatever you're doing.
Right, exactly. So obviously know the difference between what you're comparing, right? Because there's so much information on the internet. It's hard to determine, you know, what's what and who's who. So understand exactly
– we're the best.
Who the seller is, where the watch is coming from, and what the watch is, and then determine, you know, compare them apples to apples, as opposed to, you know, just, okay, well, this is a Rolex Yachtmaster and that's a Rolex Yachtmaster, but you don't know the age, you don't know the provenance, you don't know the completeness of it, if it's full set and box papers, you don't know if it's new or pre-owned. All those things are super important. And then the other thing is whether you're dealing with us personally as you know, salespeople, or you're dealing with a different company, get to know a salesperson, because, you know, once you get comfortable with a company, with a salesperson, usually they're going to look out for you. They're going to give you a little bit more of their time. And, you know, the relationship in this industry specifically with pre-owned is important, right?
It's invaluable, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I'm always going to do everything I possibly can to get the best deal for somebody that who trusts me and I trust them.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
If somebody's reaching out – so it's same thing with me. So if I go to buy a car, right, I bought my last, say, 3 cars from the same person.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that, right? For number one, when I go to talk to that guy, he knows I'm not wasting his time, so he's going to spend his time with me. Number two, we you know, we have a business relationship and a little bit of a personal relationship, so I can ask him questions and I can I feel like I can trust him with his answers.
You ask him things that you necessarily wouldn't ask someone you don't know, and the response is somewhat comforting to you because you understand he's not blowing smoke.
Right.
Which is really the important thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got plenty of guys who will buy one or two watches from me and spend way more time just
talking,
kicking it. You know, just talk, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? It's not even watches. It's cars. It's knives. It's guns. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend way more time talking about that than we did on the first or second deal. But because they're comfortable with me like that, I appreciate that, you know, and it's fun to talk to those guys because we're like-minded in those situations. So, you know, it really just comes down to knowing who you're dealing with, and we would hope that you would, you know, if you're tuning into this and watching, you know, these shows, like you said with Q last week, you're probably pretty watch savvy.
Yeah, you're going to be in the higher percentile of educated watch watch guys.
So we would hope that because you're that smart, you know, we're the best. And you would call us first.
Hey, Bugsy, Tim Mosso is the best. He's not just really good. He's the best.
Yeah. He is the watch terminator.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic. And we love him and we miss him too. So I'm sorry we're not able to entertain you as much as you're looking for tonight. So, all right.
I think that's enough for the market education for today. So one time, real quick, I just want to let you guys know. I know you guys are doing it, but email us. We're going to be picking a winner for this. And then I just want to get to the last segment of the show, which we have going to pop up right here, which is the watches we bought this week. And we both brought something with us. There you go.
Hey!
We're going to do this real quick because I know we are running a little bit over.
You go first.
And we're going to keep the show nice and streamlined as quickly as possible. So this is the, if you guys didn't notice, our watches are in the roll because we've been wearing these the whole show. I actually like this watch on the wrist more than I thought I would. This is a pretty cool piece. This is the 116680 stainless steel Yachtmaster 2, 44 millimeter. Actually wears more comfortable than the Deep Sea, in my opinion. And this is the newer generation. You'll notice the white hands instead of the blue. Just kind of a really cool watch. Some complications on this piece that I find a little bit silly.
well, but you don't have a
better term. I don't have a yacht, nor am I a master. And if I had a yacht, I would not be racing it, so I would not need a yacht timer. But I do like the sub-second at the 6 o'clock. It wears pretty clean. It's blue, and they're pretty cool. This watch retails, I think it's somewhere like $30,000. You can get them pre-owned for, right, $15,000. Solid watch, clean watch. This will be on the website soon.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And so the watch I'm wearing, which I'm kind of taking for a test drive, I'm thinking about adding it to the collection, maybe
That's every watch that we wear.
There you go. So this is a the last model Rolex Daytona. You can see the bezel, solid steel. It's a watch I never really thought about too much, really cared about. This is the 116520. I think this one's like a 2013, so it has the serial numbers inscribed on the inside, and it's a mixed or a random serial number. I think this is a great watch. We were talking about before. It's at this point, it's really kind of a unisex watch. A guy like me, I have probably roughly a 7-inch wrist. So here, keep that close up. I guess not. All right. There you go. So you can see on a 7-inch wrist, I believe it fits perfectly, right? So the case is a little bit thinner than the Submariner. It actually has roughly the same case dimensions and shape as my Yachtmaster. So it has like a bit of a rounded lug, and It's a 40 millimeter, probably wears like a 40.5. The clasp is nice and substantial. I think this watch, we've seen it go up in value recently as well. These are watches that, you know, we used to, on the wholesale side or, you know, wholesale pre-owned side, we used to pay $7,000 and $8,000 for this model, and we're paying well over 10 now. So it certainly has had a bump in value. I think that it's kind of – this is a watch that's going to end up trading in the low to mid-teens for years to come, too. So if you have one, that's kind of roughly what the value is for it. And, so there you go. Watch I bought this week, white dial 116520.
And just before we head out, I'm going to pull up the poll one more time if we can. Just figure out what's going on there. Fingers crossed for Josh. Kind of hoping he wins this one.
Thank you.
Not going to lie. There you go. Beautiful graphic. Still 50-50. What are you guys doing?
Let me see. I want to see if my wife can log on and vote for me.
All right. Bonus points if one of the emails that you send us with the watch on your wrist is one of these two watches.
Because
that's just really cool. So bonus points on that. Yeah. All right, perfect. So I think we're going to go ahead and call the show. I know we ran a little bit over. I think we're both just kind of very passionate about this subject. It's something we deal with every day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was cool. I'm glad I'm back. Josh is next week will be the same, and then I think you're gone the week after that.
That's right, yeah. So you'll have a different yeah. host on there.
You're
going to
have a brand new host come on the show. Somebody I haven't seen. I think he was on One Watch You Want show.
Peter?
Yeah.
Oh, very entertaining. I kind of
left it. Yeah, Peter Bell will be on the show.
So. All right, cool. All right, guys. Well,
appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Peace.
And, yeah.